The content of this program is intended for people who are blind, have low vision, or print disabilities. Hello, I'm Doris Hyde for the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next half hour, I will be presenting the latest vision news. Today's vision news is underwritten by the Apex Lions Club, serving the community since 1937 by providing services and financial support for people who are blind, have low vision, or print disabilities. To learn more about the services provided by the Apex Lions Club, go to apexlions.org. Let's get started. From leaderdog.org, Teen Summer Camp. June 25th through July 1st, 2023. Application deadline, Wednesday, April 26th, 2023. Presented by AAA, the Auto Club Group. This free program combines fun activities with exploring mobility options like guide dog travel, discovering leadership skills, and building friendships with peers facing similar challenges. The campers receive a free HumanWare GPS to help increase their travel independence. They also have the opportunity to learn about living and working with a guide dog. Teen Summer Camp is provided free of charge at Leader Dogs for the Blind's Rochester Hills, Michigan campus to those who are legally blind, 16 or 17 years of age, regardless of whether they plan to train with a guide dog. Public transportation to and from a client's home to the Leader Dog campus and accommodations with meals while training is also provided free of charge. Teen Summer Camp runs June 25th through July 1st, 2023. Application deadline Wednesday, April 26th, 2023. GPS devices for our campers are generously donated by HumanWare. See things differently. 2 days after her 16th birthday, Ashley Eisenmenger came to Leader Dog for the first time for summer experience camp. What followed was a week of new experiences that changed her life. There's more at the hot link. Amazing experience. My son Brock Ewing attended your summer camp and he enjoyed it to the fullest. I was so pleased by your staff, activities planned, and how clean and nice the campus was. The staff was so caring and sweet. More at the hot link. An instructor's perspective. It's amazing how a group of kids who have never met before can become close friends within a matter of days. They quickly build bonds and support one another, constantly cheering and pushing each other to try new things. More at the hot link. From newsobserver.com, control of NC schools for deaf and blind students changes despite objections from Cooper. By T. Kung Hui, that's T. K-E-U-N-G-H-U-I. Updated April 3rd. 7 students received diplomas at the Governor Moorhead School, held graduation ceremonies June 8, 2018. In addition to academic studies, students also learn life skills unique to the visually impaired. A photo by Chris Seward. North Carolina's 3 residential schools for deaf and blind students will be under new management after Governor Roy Cooper allowed the legislation to become law over the weekend without his signature. The new law shifts direct oversight of the Governor Moorhead School for the Blind in Raleigh, the Eastern North Carolina School for the Deaf in Wilson, and the North Carolina School for the Deaf in Morganton from the State Board of Education to new boards of trustees that would be created for each school. Republican lawmakers who passed the legislation will pick 4 of the 5 members of each board. The boards will run the schools and can set new admissions policies. Cooper, a Democrat, had rejected a similar bill in 2022. In a statement Monday, Cooper echoed many of the same concerns he had raised before about the change. This bill unconstitutionally attacks the State Board of Education by putting partisan political appointees of the legislature in charge of our NC schools for the deaf and blind, and I will not sign it, Cooper said. In addition, Republican legislators have put forth other proposals that encourage politics to interfere with public school curriculums, and I urge them to stop these efforts that lead to controversial book bans, rewriting history, erasing science, and other obstacles to student learning. The legislation had the support of enough Democrats to override a new veto. Last week, state lawmakers overrode Cooper's veto in order to repeal the requirement for people to get a permit to buy a handgun. Cooper has allowed other legislation he previously vetoed to become law without his signature, such as a bill increasing penalties for rioting. schools can change their admissions policies. The new law had been backed by Republican State Superintendent Catherine Truitt and all GOP lawmakers. They said the change will lead to new admissions policies that stop school districts from dumping disruptive students on the schools. HB 11 is an important bill that would provide both certain stability and long-term sustainability to meet the educational needs of our state's blind students, Truitt said in a statement Monday. Allowing for academic policies and HR to be handled on a local level, providing the opportunity for school districts and parents to apply for student placement, and establishing an admissions eligibility process are just a few ways this legislation puts the interests of our vulnerable students front and center. Most Democratic lawmakers had voted against the bill, saying the current governance system works and that the law could lead to the rights of disabled students being violated. The majority of the members of the State Board of Education were nominated by Cooper. In the new system, the State Board will only have general oversight of the schools and will pick one of the members of each local board. The story was originally published April 3, 2023 at 11:57 a.m. T. Kung Hui has covered K-12 education for the News and Observer since 1999, helping parents, students, school employees, and the community understand the vital role education plays in North Carolina. His primary focus is Wake County, but he also covers statewide education issues. From TechCrunch.com, the Monarch could be the next big thing in Braille. Article by Devin Coldewey, C-O-L-D-E-W-E-Y, posted March 17th. For many people around the world, Braille is their primary language for reading books and articles, and digital Braille readers are an important part of that. The newest and fanciest yet is the Monarch, a multi-purpose device that uses the startup Dot's tactile display technology. The Monarch is a collaboration between HumanWare and the American Printing House for the Blind. APH is an advocacy, education, and development organization focused on the needs of visually impaired people. This isn't their first Braille device, but it is definitely the most capable by far. Called the Dynamic Tactile Device until it received its regal moniker at the CSUN Assistive Technology Conference happening in Anaheim, I've been awaiting this device for a few months, having learned about it from APH's Greg Stilson when I interviewed him for Site Tech Global. The device began development as a way to adapt the new Braille pin, i.e. the raised dots that make up the letters, mechanism created by Dot, a startup I covered last year. Refreshable Braille displays have existed for many years, but they've been plagued by high costs, low durability, and slow refresh rates. Dot's new mechanism allowed for closely placed, individually replaceable, easily and quickly raisable pins at a reasonable cost. APH partnered with HumanWare to adopt this new tech into a large-scale Braille reader and writer codenamed the Dynamic Tactile Device, now known as Monarch. These days, one of the biggest holdups in the Braille reading community is length and complexity of the publishing process. A new book, particularly a long textbook, may need weeks or months after being published for sighted readers before it is available in Braille, if it is made available at all. And of course, once it is printed, it is many times the size of the original because Braille has a lower information density than ordinary type. To accomplish the digital delivery of textbook files, we have partnered with over 30 international organizations and the DAISY Consortium to create a new electronic Braille standard called the EBRF, explained an APH representative in an email. This will provide additional functionality to Monarch users, including the ability to jump page to page with page numbers matching the print book page's numbers, and the ability for tactile graphics directly into the book file, allowing the text and graphics to display seamlessly on the page. The graphic capability is a serious leap forward. A lot of previous Braille readers were only one or two lines, so the Monarch having 10 lines of 32 cells each allows for reading the device more like a person would a printed or rather embossed Braille page. And because the grid of pins is continuous, it can also, as Dot's reference device showed, display simple graphics. Of course, the fidelity is limited, but it's huge to be able to pull up a visual on demand of a graph, animal, or especially in early learning, a letter or number shape. Now, you may look at the Monarch and think, wow, that thing is huge. And it is pretty big. But tools for people with low vision impairments must be used and navigated without the benefit of sight. And in this case, also by people of many ages, capabilities, and needs. If you think of it more like a rugged laptop than an e-reader, the size makes a lot more sense. There are a few other devices out there with continuous pin grids. A reader pointed out the Graphiti, G-R-A-P-H-I-T-I. But it's as much about the formats and software as it is about the hardware. So let's hope everyone gets brought in on this big step forward in accessibility. From MacRumors.com, Apple services accept iCloud to stop working on some older software versions. Article by Joe Rossignol, R-O-S-S-I-G-N-O-L, posted April 4th. Apple services except for iCloud will stop working on some older iOS, macOS, watchOS, and tvOS versions starting in early May, according to information shared by Twitter account at Stella Fudge, a source with a proven track record. Users will not be able to access any Apple services except for iCloud on these software versions: iOS 11 through iOS 11.2.6, macOS 10.13 through macOS 10.13.3, watchOS 4 through watchOS 4.2.3, tvOS 11 through tvOS 11.2.6. In an internal document, Apple said affected users might receive a push notification prompting them to update their device to a newer software version. Some older software versions will no longer support Apple services like the App Store, Siri, and Maps, said Apple in a support document published last month. Update your software to the latest available version to continue using these services. Apple did not explain why most of its services will stop working with these older software versions released between late 2017 and early 2018, but the move will affect only a small percentage of users. As of mid-February, for example, Apple said only 8% of actively used iPhones were running iOS 14 or older. Apple offers a wide range of services, including Apple Music, Apple Arcade, Apple TV Plus, Apple Fitness Plus, Apple News Plus, and others. We've reached out to Apple for comment, and we'll update this story if we hear back. From FightingBlindness.org, Evolving with Eyesight and Life. My name is Gavin Donnelly. I'm 32 years old, live in San Diego, and am head of marketing for an AI startup. I've been married to an incredible woman for almost 2 years, and we have a new 7-month-old baby boy. What you would probably not realize when you look at me is that I have Stargardt disease. When I was 19 and headed into my sophomore year at Miami University, I went in for my yearly eye exam to get my contact prescription updated. During that eye appointment, my optometrist was perplexed on why she couldn't get me reading at 20/20. What ensued was a multitude of eye appointments until I eventually ended up at the Cincinnati Eye Institute, where I finally received my Stargardt disease diagnosis. When I received my diagnosis, I remember my doctor saying, "Don't go home and Google this." So I went home and Googled it. All the concern of those around me finally made sense as I read that eventually I would lose my eyesight. I have spent the last 13 years constantly adjusting to the unpredictability of the loss of my eyesight. I don't notice a difference from one day to the next, but every once in a while I have moments where I realize just how much sight I have lost. As a competitive problem solver, though, I have always found solutions to my challenges that work well for me. I have figured out how to leverage various technologies' accessibility features to be a successful professional, to inexpensively get around a city with trains, buses, Ubers, bikes, and how to act like I know who a person is until I get enough clues to figure out who I'm talking to. As a new parent, what I quickly have realized is that an evolution of these solutions is required, meaning these solutions need to work for people other than just myself. Becoming a new parent comes with its anticipated hurdles, but with low vision, these new hurdles feel closer together and taller. Things you may not normally consider as the difficult part of parenting are quite difficult for me with low vision, like measuring the exact right amount of formula or medicine, reading a bedtime story, seeing if your kid is crying or laughing, because so many times it sounds the same, and getting to a doctor's appointment, or anywhere else for that matter. Once you insert a crying baby into the situation, the stress can hit maximum levels. In a way, parenthood feels like I'm rediscovering that I have limitations, but it's also a great opportunity to teach my child that it's okay to struggle and face obstacles. The way I address these challenges will be more measurable and impactful to my child than what I'm not able to do for him. Realizing this provides the comfort I need that I will provide my child with exactly what he needs. And now a few recent posts from coolblindtech.com. Study reveals blind individuals have an enhanced capacity to sense their own heartbeat, posted March 27th. A study conducted by scientists from Karolinska Institutet in Sweden and Jagiellonian University in Poland reveals that blind individuals exhibit an ability to sense their own heartbeats. The study suggests that blindness results in an enhanced capacity to perceive internal bodily signals. Karolinska is spelled Karolinska, Institutet, Institutet, and Jagiellonian University is Jagiellonian University. What was involved in this study? 36 blind and an equal number of sighted participants were instructed to count their own heartbeats without taking their pulse or touching their bodies. How were the participants monitored during the study? The researchers monitored the participants' actual heartbeats using a pulse oximeter. By comparing the reported and recorded numbers, the researchers evaluated the participants' ability to accurately sense their own heartbeats. What did the results reveal? The results revealed that blind participants outperformed their sighted counterparts in sensing their heartbeats. On a scale where a perfect score was represented by 1.0, the blind group achieved an average accuracy of 0.78, while the sighted group's average accuracy was 0.63. What information does this study give the researchers? It gives the researchers most important information about the brain's plasticity and how the loss of one sense can enhance others, in this case, the ability to feel what happens inside your own body. What possible benefits could heightened heartbeat awareness offer? The researchers suggest that heightened heartbeat awareness may offer benefits in terms of emotional processing. Previous research has established a connection between interoceptive accuracy, or the ability to discern the body's internal state, and an individual's aptitude for perceiving emotions in themselves and others. Does the research team have plans for further studies? The research team plans to further investigate how blind individuals perceive their own bodies, exploring whether structural alterations in the visual cortex, the brain area typically responsible for vision, could account for the enhanced capacity to detect internal bodily signals. Posted April 3rd, a group of students is using artificial intelligence to help blind and partially sighted people navigate. Rudranch Goyal, Vinayak Maheshwari, and Mustafa Zahid make up Team Guiding Eyes, which was recently named one of the 5 finalists of the Samsung Solve for Tomorrow contest. The contest asks Canadians between the ages of 16 and 25 to solve problems in their communities using STEM skills. What was the inspiration for Guiding Eyes? The first seed for the idea came when Goyal spent part of last summer working with the Canadian National Institute for the Blind. He noticed how long it takes to train guide dogs and how expensive it can be for the owner. What is one of the goals of the project? One of the goals of the project is to create a product that is affordable and practical for the user. What does the current prototype look like? The team decided to make goggles that use AI technology to analyze the user's environment and provide real-time feedback through a headset describing your surroundings. What is the final prototype expected to look like? The final prototype is going to look like normal glasses with a headset that has microprocessors and the AI. The team wants to make the prototype visually appealing so the user doesn't feel uncomfortable or insecure about it. The Perks of Innovation. A benefit of being one of the five finalists for the contest is access to resources from Samsung. Not only has the Guiding Eyes team been gifted a $5,000 prize pack, including tech that will help them bring their idea to life, but Samsung also provides around-the-clock communication and advice from some of the tech industry's greatest minds. What is the future for Guiding Eyes? If Team Guiding Eyes is named the winner of this year's contest, they will not only be rewarded with an additional $8,000 worth of Samsung technology, but they will also receive a $20,000 grand prize. They plan to invest their winnings into hiring more employees and expanding their marketing so that the word about Guiding Eyes reaches the people who need it most. Posted March 13th on Cool Blind Tech, Microsoft coming out with an accessibility assistant for content creators. At this year's Microsoft Ability Summit, the company has revealed its latest advancements for accessibility and disability inclusion. First, it's bringing an accessibility assistant to Microsoft 365, formerly Microsoft Office. The aim is to help people produce content that's more accessible. What will the accessibility assistant offer? The assistant will offer suggestions on how to prevent and correct accessibility issues, along with what Microsoft calls better defaults and real-time remediation. The assistant follows an accessibility checker in Visual Studio. On a similar note, Microsoft has released a guidebook in PDF to help people design products with cognitive diversity in mind. What announcements were made for the Surface Pen? Later this year, there will be 3D printed attachments for the Surface Pen. They're already available for the Business Pen and Classroom Pen, too. According to Microsoft, the grips can make the pens easier to hold for those with limited mobility, so they can use the peripherals on their Surface devices. What updates are coming out for the Seeing AI app? Elsewhere, Microsoft detailed more accessibility-minded updates that are built on the Azure platform. The Seeing AI app recently added a feature to help blind users and those with low vision to make their way through a building with the guidance of spatial audio cues. What improvements are coming for LinkedIn? Azure Cognitive Services for Vision will be employed to automatically add alt text descriptions and captioning on LinkedIn as well. Microsoft notes that more than 40% of LinkedIn posts have at least one image. While automatically generated descriptions won't be perfect, they're better than having no alt text at all. What updates have been made available for Microsoft Translator? On top of all that, Microsoft Translator to gain support for an additional 13 African languages, including Yoruba, Hausa, and Igbo. Additionally, Microsoft says it will delve into some of the ways that Bing AI can bolster accessibility during the summit. Posted March 6th, Apple AR/VR headsets rumored to assist people with vision loss. According to information released by Bloomberg's Mark Gurman in his most recent issue of the Power On newsletter, future iterations of the AR/VR gear that Apple is working on could aid those with vision loss. Gurman says that Apple has a dedicated XDG team looking into options for future AR/VR headsets that will help those with vision impairments, as well as next-generation display technology, AI, and other possibilities. What are some of the rumored features? The first iteration of the AR/VR headgear will possibly include more than a dozen cameras, some of which will be used to map the user's immediate surroundings. The headset might be able to present additional visual information for those who are legally blind or have other visual impairments, as well as give auditory directions to people who are blind. Those with AMD, age-related macular degeneration, which results in blank areas in the vision, may be able to employ specific functions. According to reports, floating lenses in Oculens AR, wear glasses, can be used to change real-time streaming video and shift items into areas that AMD patients can see. What are the rumored hardware and functionality distinctions between the two head-mounted wearables? It's probable that the budget AR headset has fewer cameras, a weaker custom chipset, and a smaller battery, which should allow Apple to charge a reasonable price for it. The more expensive model is said to have a screen with 4,000 ppi density. However, it may have a display with a lesser resolution. The first speculated Reality Pro headset from Apple, according to Kuo, may be the most breakthrough piece of the consumer technology since the iPhone. How much are the AR headsets expected to cost? The price tag is expected to be in the $3,000 to $5,000 area. It's probable that Apple may simply purchase a small quantity for its first run before requesting that its supplier, in this case LuxShare, scale up shipments in response to the market's reaction. LuxShare is spelled L-U-X-S-H-A-R-E. From NFB.org, NFB Bell in Ohio. The NFB Bell Academy will offer one location in Ohio this year. Primary contact, Molly Taylor. Phone 419-779-2819. Email mollyjtaylor@yahoo.com. Location number 1, Columbus, Ohio State School for the Blind, 5220 North High Street, Columbus, Ohio, 43214. It will run from 4 p.m. Sunday, August 6, 2023, to 2 p.m. Friday, August 11, 2023. The National Federation of the Blind of Ohio will offer an NFB Bell Academy August 6 through 11 in Columbus this summer. This is a residential program with an option to attend daily. Lunch will be provided for all participants. However, breakfast and dinner will only be provided for residential students. The cost to attend is $100 for day students and $150 for residential students. This program will take place at the Ohio State School for the Blind. Please join us for exciting adventures in Braille reading and writing, assistive technology, Nemeth, tactile graphics, daily living skills, and community field trips. Parents and guardians are responsible for transporting their student to the program on Sunday, August 6th, and back home on Friday, August 11th. Please contact Molly Taylor for additional information or questions. To apply for this location, please click on the hot link at the National NFB Bell Academy page. Also from NFB.org, Narrowing the Gap for Blind and Low Vision Students in Maryland Teacher Preparation Program. In an effort to increase the number of teachers of blind students, the Maryland State Department of Education, Division of Early Intervention, Special Education Services, is partnering with the National Federation of the Blind and Louisiana Tech University to bring a quality, nationally recognized program to Maryland consisting of in-person and virtual learning experiences. Learn more at the hot link about Narrowing the Gap. I hope you enjoyed today's episode of Vision News. I'm Doris Hyde reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Today's episode is underwritten by the Apex Lions Club, serving the community since 1937 by providing services and financial support for people who are blind, have low vision, or print disabilities. To learn more about the services provided by the Apex Lions Club, go to apexlions.org. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind, have low vision, or print disabilities. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. So long until next week.